Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to our class today, as we have an interesting subject of boat building school. Well, welcome, everybody. You know, this is August, and it's a great time in the Pacific Northwest in the United States. And I'm from that area, and I grew up in that area. So it's nice to have an article about that today. So this is Doris, your teacher, and
Lois. Hi, Lois.
Lois, you like that kind of area, don't you?
Yeah, I do, because I haven't lived very far from it when I've lived on the coast of British Columbia. So
you're just right across the bay.
Right, and done some camping close by and hiked in the area and things like that, Doris.
Well, and I think Bill has even been there, haven't you, Bill?
Yeah, I have been in this area, Doris, up there on the Olympic Peninsula. I've been by Port Townsend and also Port Angeles and the Olympic National Park. So it's really a very unique area.
Well, they call these places port, this and that. That means that there's actually boats there then.
Yeah, there's shipping, a lot of shipping, and as you know, a lot of smaller boats too, fishing boats in that area. So these villages are just wonderfully, you know, laid out, and they're very charming.
Right, and you know, we're talking about the west, northwest part of the United States, but Campbell is from the northeastern part of the United States. Now, Campbell, is it kind of the same over there near where your mom and dad live in New York?
Yeah, I'm in New York. Well, New York City itself is very different from this area that we're going to be talking about, but where my parents live, it is, it's an island, so it is closer to the water, so it is, you know, it's a nice quieter area than
it's
New York City.
It's in Long Island, right?
Staten Island.
Oh, yeah, Staten Island. Okay. There's so many islands. I don't know the East Coast very well. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. But I'm sure that you'll find similarities. Do you think so as you read this article?
Yeah, definitely. There's just different, you know, different things about, you know, the fishing and the boating and things like that.
And the people, you know, the people that live in these areas by the ocean that do these things, they're always different. Just like the people that live, you know, in Taiwan, the people in Taipei are different from the people in Suao even.
Mm-hmm. In or Keelung or something
yeah,
like that.
There's a difference, isn't there, Bill?
Sure. It's a different way of life, and they are much more attuned to the ocean and dealing with nature, and they don't have a lot of the comforts that maybe people have in the big cities.
Well, they have some comforts, but they don't have all the what we would call the cultural things, like some of the big symphony orchestras and things
museums
like that. But they can always go down to Seattle and then have those, and you can always go down to New York.
That's right.
You can do them in Vancouver, too.
That's right, definitely.
So our article today is on page 10, and we're talking about a boat building school. Imagine that. It says, this unique school exemplifies the best of education vacations. So there's a lot of things to talk about, even in the title.
Right. There in that deck we see here, exemplifies, and that's one of our vocab focus terms, Doris. Talks about giving something, being a special example, maybe the perfect example of something when we exemplify something.
Mm. If it's a unique, then it is very special. And it just makes it stronger, and it just says, boy, this is really the best of education vacations. Have you ever heard of an education vacation?
I certainly have, Doris, and I've done a little bit of education vacation in that I've taken some cooking courses while away. I've also taken an art class while I've been away, and also have taken a little bit of learning how to scuba dive. Things like that. Mm.
Those are very good education vacations.
Sure. I think it's an alternative to the usual tourist activities, you know, the museums and the art museums. You actually go and learn something and do something and be productive with your
vacation. Not just go around and sightsee and take your picture in front of the Eiffel Tower or eat at a Chinese restaurant right now. But you're having an education vacation. And I think that's a great idea to do something educational on your vacation, Bill.
Well, it is. It's very rewarding for people to go do this. And actually, they can learn something then that they can use the rest of their life. And like Lois mentioned, cooking school or different
flower
places
arranging,
like that.
Anything,
right.
Yeah.
You can enjoy a nice, relaxing time away from your regular life, but also learn something you can use forever.
Well, I like the water and I like this, but I'd rather do, like you said, a scuba education,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Diving in the water. But I don't know if I'd really want to do boat building, but Bill might be interested. I'm not sure.
Arr, I learned how to build a boat.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and just read the first section through line 10 and see what we're really talking about in this lesson today.
Boat Building School. This unique school exemplifies the best of education vacations. If you're one of those nautical types who mystify the medical community every time a blood test discovers salt water in your veins, here's an education vacation for you. It includes soul-soothing vistas of gunmetal blue waters, protected lagoons for kayaking, water view hiking trails, and an opportunity to learn how to properly varnish your boat or even build a new one.
Well, I don't know if we're all nautical types, but what would you be like if you were a nautical type?
Well, a nautical type is someone who enjoys the ocean or enjoys sailing, is really interested in ships. So here we're talking about people who really are interested in boats and so and about the ocean. So we're talking about people who really enjoy spending time on the ocean.
Well, especially the ship part of it. I like to be in the water, but this is people who want to be on the boats, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little different there. But it says here that these kind of people mystify, and that means that they just puzzle. You can't understand them. The medical community says, what kind of people are these? Because every time they take a blood test, they get salt water in your veins. And I wonder if that's really true, Bill.
Well, our writer is just having a little fun here, Doris, with this sentence, saying that these people love the ocean so much that instead of maybe just all blood, they've actually got some seawater going through their body.
But they really don't. But it just means that they love to be by the ocean.
Yeah. Right.
I think I must have some salt water in my veins because I was born near there. Almost on the beach because my mother almost had she was digging clams and she felt like, oh, my baby Doris is coming. And she finally got back to the house in time. Not to the hospital, I don't think. To the house, you know.
Yeah.
But I was almost born on the beach, so I think I have salt water in my veins too.
Yeah. I love salt water and I love fresh lakes too, Doris. So maybe I have a little bit in me too.
Right. But if you love the ocean and people who live in areas where there are islands and things, they usually love the ocean, don't they?
Yeah, for sure.
I guess they have salt water in their veins, right?
Yeah, well, if you go to this part of Washington State, you'll definitely get that feel from it. It seems like everybody, their life revolves around the water.
Well, in fact, in the northwest of the United States, especially around the whole Seattle area, the Puget Sound area, and up into Canada there. When people go on weekends, you see everybody taking a trailer, taking their boat. I mean, you see all these people driving their cars outside of the city, dragging a little boat along behind on a trailer, Bill.
Yeah, well, there's so many places for you to dock and put your boat in the water. And it's great to go boating around Puget Sound. It's a wonderful way to enjoy the weekend.
Right. So you can get an education if you would like to. Now, most of us are not going to do boat building, I don't think, because I don't know where we'd ever use that. But it still sounds interesting for some people.
For sure.
I have a daughter that's probably going to do it, Doris.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think she would totally be into this school.
Well, I have a nephew that builds furniture and likes woodworking, but I don't know about the boat part. But what does it include here in line 5, Bill?
We see soul-soothing vistas of gunmetal blue waters, so I'm just going to stop right there. And soul-soothing, that's something that's going to relax us, and vistas is a Spanish word for view, so that we will have these relaxing view of the water in the area of Puget Sound.
What do they call the gunmetal? I mean, I think it's beautiful blue water. Where do you get the gunmetal blue?
Well, it means to reflect a very dark blue.
It's a dark blue.
That's
it has nothing to do
about
with guns.
No.
Yeah. Don't get confused there.
It's very dark.
It's just dark blue, right, Bill? Mm-hmm. Dark blue waters, okay. And these protected lagoons. What is a lagoon?
Well, I kind of like lagoons, Doris, because they're calmer water. It's like water set aside from the open ocean, and it almost looks like a mini bay.
Is it like a lake?
No, it's not like a lake. It's almost like an oversized pond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good place to go kayaking, or some of our readers might have already done canoeing. And you can really enjoy a lagoon for that. And some of our readers have probably seen lagoons when they have been traveling in the tropics as well.
That's true. All right. Do you have lagoons back there in the New York area?
No, we don't. I wish I did.
Well, they have one near where my children live, and it's a lot of fun.
That's up in Canada,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, up in the Toronto area.
Hmm. Well, those are really beautiful places. I think there's a song written about the Sleepy Lagoon and the islands. You know, I think Bill knows that song. I think Elvis Presley sang that.
I don't know. I may sing it later.
Yeah, not on the program, you know, Bill, but after the program. We'll do that later. Okay. But anyway, it's an opportunity when you go up there, not just to do kayaking or just water view. Look at the water from the hiking trails, which we might like to do, but it's also an opportunity, if you want to learn something.
That's right. And that is to, as we've said in the title, build a boat. You can go to this boat building school, Doris.
And you can learn how to properly varnish your boat. Now, you do varnish a lot of different things besides boats.
Varnish. Right. When you varnish something, especially wood, you put a coat of something over it to protect it. So
most times people varnish their furniture,
right,
don't they?
So the furniture or the floor, mm-hmm. you know, things
if you
like
don't
that.
Varnish it, it won't last. It's kind of like a coat.
Right. You have to put this clear. It's like putting paint on, except it's usually a clear liquid that you're essentially painting over the paint to protect it, mostly from moisture. And you have to repeatedly do this with boats because not only the water affecting the wood, but also just the air. There's humidity in the air that really erodes the wood.
Yeah,
you know, it kind of reminds me of women. They get fingernail polish on. They kind of varnish their fingernails.
That's right, Doris. And believe it or not, maybe our readers don't know this, it is very important how you apply the varnish on a boat. So it actually has to have that even, smooth surface and not have some parts that are a little bubbly or bulking out. It has to all be perfect. It is the way the boat will react to the water, be in the water, and it will also, as we've mentioned, preserve your wood boat.
Mm. She sounds like she's got salt water in her veins. Okay, well, let's go on and read the second paragraph.
A respected academy. Port Hadlock is home to the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building, one of the most respected academies of its kind. The boat school started in 1981 in nearby Port Townsend, home to one of the world's leading annual wooden boat festivals. In pursuit of more space and a waterfront location, the school moved in 2004 to Port Hadlock, at the south end of Port Townsend's Long Bay. Between the two communities, I think we're unique in the United States, said school director Pete Leinhautz, a retired U.S. Navy officer. Nowhere else is there such a concentrated pool of talent in the marine trades. Okay, Doris, we see here in this section, titled A Respected Academy, that Port Hadlock is home to the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building.
I didn't even know they had a school like that. The Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building? Isn't that something unusual?
Oh, sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds very specific, of course. And, you know, as you know, Doris, coming from there are a lot of boat manufacturers in that area.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is a very respected one. It means that people think this is a good school. They really teach you some good schools. Well, when did that start over there?
Well, the boat school started in 1981, which is over 30 years ago, in nearby Port Townsend.
Okay. Port Townsend is a bigger place, actually, than Port Haddock. There's so many ports because people like to go around in their boats and they stop in these little ports and put their boats there for the weekend. And people go out fishing from there.
And get their supplies, right,
yeah,
Doris?
They do.
It's kind of fun to jump up on that dock, run into the little store and get what you need maybe for the weekend or just for the day.
Have a nice meal at a big seafood restaurant.
Ooh, sounds good to me. I'm joining you, Doris.
Now, we see, you can see a map there, Doris, the bottom right corner of page 10, and you'll find Port Townsend there, and Port Haddock is actually further south. It's down off the southern tip of Indian Island, so that's what the two ports that we are talking about.
Well, we do see a photo here from Indian Island, and that is a very beautiful place. It's right near Orcas Island, which we've talked about, which is, there's so many islands there. Some people even buy little islands, you know, because there's so many of them. They're beautiful, aren't they?
Well, Bill Gates and Paul Allen, they, if you got their money, you can buy an island. I don't know about Bill Quinn buying an island.
Well, I mean, I'm smaller islands. Bill, you know, Gates would buy a bigger island.
I might buy a rock.
Yeah.
But I don't know about an island.
I don't know. I'm thinking I might buy an island maybe the size of this table. What do you think?
Well, that's okay. If you get a small enough one, that's true. But anyway, people love to go and visit these islands. But they do have something up there. They had annual wooden boat festival. That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's one of the features of, you know, smaller towns. They have a lot of festivals to celebrate various things, and here we see a wooden boat festival. So I'm sure this festival celebrates boats and nautical things.
Right. And Bill told us where it is here.
Well, we see, you know, we learned that it was started, the school started in Port Townsend, and then we move into line 16 and 17 and find out, well, the school needed more space, and they also wanted a waterfront location, so they actually moved in 2004 further south down to Port Haddock.
Cheaper down there, too, because Port Townsend, you know, everybody loves to move up to Port Townsend, and so Port Haddock would be not so big of an important place. They go to a smaller place, right?
I think I'm going to have to get to this Port Haddock and Port Townsend. Sounds very inspiring, perhaps.
It does. So in this sentence, we see the word waterfront. It just means that it's near the water. So we often talk about waterfront property. You know, if we're looking at real estate, you want something by the beach, it's waterfront.
Right.
Yeah, it's worth more.
But you always like waterfront property. It's great. But between these two communities, he says, I think that we're really unique in the United States. That's what the director said. Now, you notice that he's also kind of somebody with born with salt water in his vein because he's a retired U.S. Navy officer, right?
Well, makes sense. And that is school director Pete Leinhouts. We see there in line 22. Makes sense, a retired U.S. Navy officer. Also, there are, of course, in this area, there have been several Navy bases. So
Bremerton,
a lot of these,
is a big naval base.
Yeah, so a lot of the former naval officers and sailors live in the area.
But, you know, he's kind of bragging about the school, but it's probably very true because he says, you know, our school has the best talent. No place else is there such a concentrated pool of talent. So many people in the business of boat building, marine trade.
Marine trades, yeah. It's interesting, Doris.
Yeah, well, actually, I think what he's even expanding it to the area, in addition to the school, I think he's even referring to that whole area as far as, you know, the Port Townsend, Port Haddock area. So many people there have got abilities in the marine trades. So as I mentioned, there are a lot of manufacturers up there, so there's all these skilled people.
But remember, there's other places, like you can see this Indian Island, and if you just like to watch it go to the lagoons or kayaking or you want to walk along the hiking trails, you don't have to build boats to go there. So if you're not interested in boat building, you still might want to visit
there.
That's
right, or you might just want to go and see the school and just observe a bit.
Yeah, okay. It sounds like a very relaxing place, actually.
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, let's read the next section.
The school typically hosts from 35 to 50 full-time students in long-term studies, but it also offers a range of shorter courses from weekends to a couple of weeks that can fit into vacations for couples or families. When Dale Simonson, a college instructor from Burnaby, British Columbia, came for a two-week class to build a 12-foot sailboat, he camped at scenic Fort Worden and Fort Townsend State Parks. My first contact with the school was a phone call, and I think it was Pete Lienhouts who actually answered the phone, Simonson said. It was a very good experience from that moment. Kathy Liu of Port Townsend has a 24-foot wooden sailboat that has issues now and then, so she took the school's 5-day painting and varnishing course. She praised instructor Diane Saguero's knowledge and flexibility with her students.
This section deals now a lot with the school, what they do there, and it's talking more about the school instead of the surrounding areas.
Yes, so we find out that the school typically hosts, that means that they have on campus or at their school, from 35 to 50 full-time students in long-term studies.
So doesn't sound like a very big school to me. How many people in your school? Oh, 35. You call that a school?
Right. It's more like a class, right?
It's more of a class, isn't it?
Right. Might be nice all the attention. Attention, though, right?
Yeah, but you know, those are long-term studies. But what else do they have, though, besides that?
Well, they also offer a range of shorter courses from weekends to a couple of weeks. So you might go there for a few days or a few weeks and learn how to build a boat.
And that, of course, could fit into your vacation schedule, isn't that right?
That's right. So this might be a little bit different than just going to maybe Disneyland or something like that. You're up in Washington State and you're getting a hands-on vacation.
Well, it sure is different.
And a lot of these weekend courses are going to be, I think, focused on maybe specific things
like
that you can learn.
Like varnishing or something.
Right. Yeah, maybe you already own a boat, but you want to learn how to maybe make repairs or do things like that.
That's true.
Yeah, I know we have a wooden canoe, my husband and I, and one thing we have to do is you have to maintain it. So you have to learn how to take care of this wood, both exterior and interior of this canoe.
Can you really paddle your own canoe?
Yes, I can.
Wow.
I really can. And I love it.
Well, it sounds like the American Indians to me.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, is a canoe the same as going kayaking?
No, it's not. There's a big difference. For instance, with kayaking, you have a long paddle and you have the two ends that both dip into the water. Whereas with the canoe, you generally have a wooden paddle and it has the one end of the paddle is the one you dip into the water. And you keep it very, if you want to do a really good job, you keep it very close to the canoe, but don't hit the canoe.
And a canoe looks a little different than the kayaking boat, doesn't
it? That's right. Canoe has some depth to it, whereas a kayak is very flat and stays more on top of the water, and a canoe goes more into the water.
Sounds like a real canoeer, a kayaker, doesn't she?
I'm a canoeer, not a kayaker.
Okay. But anyway, that sounds like a good thing. But sometimes, like this Dale Simonson, he's a college instructor from Burnaby, right across the water there in Vancouver.
Exactly.
That's not very far away.
And I know you've been there too, Doris de Burnaby.
Right. It's just right near Vancouver there. Well, he came over for a two-week class to build a 12-foot sailboat. And then he camped at this beautiful place called Fort Worden and Fort Townsend State Parks. So there's so many places like that. Bill, you've been up there.
Yeah, I really like this. He really combined this vacation. Sounds great, camping for a couple of weeks up at these state parks. And also going to school and learning his skill, the ability to build a 12-foot sailboat. That's a pretty small sailboat, but you know what? There's a real sense of accomplishment in learning how to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. And he found out about it, but he called the school, and who did he talk to?
Well, it says his first contact with the school was a phone call, and he thinks it was Pete Lienhouts. We learned about Pete Lienhouts earlier. He's the U.S. Navy officer, and he answered the phone, and he had a really good experience with him on the phone.
So that's one testimonial, one person. Then the other person that went up there was Kathy Liu. Sounds like a Chinese person to me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe she's moved there. Or she was born there. But she is actually a resident of Port Townsend. And now she's got a nice-size sailboat, a 24-foot wooden sailboat that she almost like a psychologist describes as having issues. Now.
Having issues. She's having
my
problems
boat has
with
issues.
It. It's giving me problems now and then, right? She has problems with that. And so she took a 5-day course. And what was her course?
Yeah, she took a painting and varnishing course, which obviously is pretty important when it's a wooden sailboat. Not the same if it was fiberglass, but with it being wooden, she would need that knowledge.
It's constant maintenance. Having a boat, a lot of times people will have, for instance, power boats that they go out on the weekend. Those are usually made of a fiberglass hull or some other synthetic material that doesn't require as much attention. But these wooden boats require constant attention. So that's why Kathy Leo has to stay on top of this.
And she liked it. You know, she said it was good because she praised the instructor. And the instructor was a lady. And she said she had a lot of knowledge and she had flexibility with her students. In other words, she helped us solve the problems. The issues that we had, the instructor helped us solve the problems.
That's right. And that's very helpful to the students. Makes the students want to return to this school. And if you only have a 5-day course, maybe you can come another time for 2 weeks.
Well, I think, you know, Doris, this is a great area, not only just to take a vacation. The Olympic Peninsula, of course, home to Olympic National Park, some great scenery there. But this sounds like a great option to go and spend a week or two and actually learn a skill that you can enjoy for the rest of your life.
When we come back to class tomorrow, we're going to find out more about the kind of people that go there, other students. We heard these two students, but other people that go there, what they learn, what the opportunities are. So it's a kind of a good subject for August because it seems like a good vacation time anyway. And that's a beautiful time in the Northwest.
It sure is. August is great.
Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow when we continue on our boat building school, this unique place in the Northwest. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.